This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 638 with Jay Franzi, recorded on February 27th, 2025. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation. All for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios. Here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska, the weather has changed. Last week we had Uyghur on and it was cold. This week it is warm. Maybe it's because I have Jay Franzi. Jay, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
See, you just said I warm your heart. Look at that.
You do. You do. Well, always good to have you on here. You're my Kentucky friend. I need to get out and do the bourbon trail with you.
There you go. Sure. Let's do it.
I know. We need to figure out a way to get it done, but thanks for...
This weekend?
There you go. You never know. You never know. It does take me a while to get there, so I would... We'll have to plan that. Well, speaking of planning, we'll plan some show notes. There'll be some world-class show notes out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. Appreciate you guys each and every month, whether you give 1 month or you most of you guys just give every single month. If you want to join that team, we have one $5 plan, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon will get you there. And then if you want to use the Amazon affiliate link at theaverageguy.tv, just head out to theaverageguy.tv. You'll see some red lettering that says something like this site is, you know, something affiliate, blah, 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 I should really memorize or just write down that statement so I can say it, but it's available out there. Just check it out today. If you want to click through, and that'll benefit the site as well. And then, of course, big thanks to Mike Uyghur, who joined us last week. Always great to have Handsome Mike on, and appreciate him coming on and being a part of the show. As I mentioned before, Jay Franzi is with me. Jay, welcome back. And, hey, what's going on with your podcast? What are you doing these days?
Well, first, I don't know if it's better to be the one that warms your heart or be the one that's referred to as being handsome.
Well, I said Handsome Mike. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Did you want to be handsome?
I don't know.
We need Handsome Jay as well?
I'll stick with the warming of your heart. That's all right. Podcast. It's been going very well. I'm very excited about it. We talked to pretty much the entire music industry, people who work behind the scenes, the artists that are up and coming, as well as the ones that are on their way down. Yeah. We don't really get too many that are in the middle, which is funny to me. So I get people like the Romantics, I get the Oak Ridge Boys, you know, those that are towards the end of their career, and then I get all the ones that are at the beginning of their career, were on The Voice.
They're busy, you know, in the middle of their career.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they think they're
a big deal.
It's funny.
Yeah.
So on Monday nights, we do one-on-one interviews, and on Wednesday nights, I have a co-host who works with me like this. We go over the news and basically what's going on in the industry, and it's more interactive like this, and it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, I went out and kind of caught up on what you were doing a little bit, and your co-hosts are great. This is why I do the show this way, because
so much better than just talking to yourself.
For sure it is. Maybe once a year I'll do a solo show. Jay Franzi, FRANZE.com. If you want to check that out, I put the link in the chat. It'll be in the show notes as well. Yeah, you're getting some, I mean, you were talking about Rascal Flatts. You've had some, you know, like you said, some new folks, you hate to say at the end because some of these careers,
they're doing their farewell tours.
Well,
so we can say the end of their career.
Yeah, that never is true. The Eagles did that about 7,000 times, right? Yeah,
they're doing it again this year.
Billy Joel has done that before.
He's on tour this year.
Elton John. Yeah. I think I'm going to retire, and then they get pulled back in. They get bored, right?
Well, the Oak Ridge Boys, they came on the show a little while back.
Wow.
And they were talking about their farewell tour. So they're on the road. Now, their farewell tour, they've come through my town 3 times that I've seen them. And I looked, and they're coming through again this year. So I don't know how long this farewell tour is, but we're looking for at least a few years here.
Wow.
But one of their members just recently passed away, Joe Bonzel, sorry. And he just recently passed away, and they just, you know, had their moments, their recognition of them, and then replaced them with somebody else, and just moved right along.
Yeah, yeah,
it's crazy to me.
Yeah, but. Well, you know, do you think, I mean, one, we talked about this a little bit in the pre-show. We're living, well, we're, some of us are living a little bit longer than we used to. Like, I mean, we, the average, look at the Rolling Stones. Like,
oh, dear God.
Those guys are 1,000 years old.
They're a music museum.
Yeah. And so it's just, it is one of those things. I think on average, we're living a little bit longer than we used to. And so, yeah, these musicians, they're like, and then it's hard to believe. I mean, some of them, it's speaking of the Rolling Stones, I mean, they were put away wet so many times. I don't know how they can even get up and
they
do
look
it.
Look like it.
Mick Jagger keeps, he keeps at it, right? And you're just like, yeah, Tony Rayner says in chat, his coworker is going to see them here on March 7th, right?
Yeah, it's worth a shot. I mean, you go check them out.
Yeah,
and it's funny, William Lee Golden is one of the main singers, and he was on the show, and he's also in a band called William Lee Golden and the Goldens. So it's okay. Just a family band.
Yeah,
and his son is one of the people who passed away this year, and without skipping a beat, he just kept going to the next show.
Yeah.
I expected everything to come to a halt, but it didn't. And I mean, it's sad. He's very torn up about everything, but he just keeps moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. We spent a little time talking about it. My neighbor passed away, and it's a hard, you know, that, especially in these, you know, how much time do you take off? For some people it's more than others. Right. And I guess that's a personal decision you make sometimes and thinking through. Some people want to continue on. They're like, you know what? We need to keep living. And others want to spend some time really remembering. I mean, it hits them really, really hard.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a right answer to it, right? I don't think there's a right. I think for me, as I've, you know, now I've had both parents, both Sarah's parents have passed. Folks around me, you know, my neighbor last week. I think everybody just needs to grieve and figure out what works for them.
It's tough. Both my parents passed away and at separate times, and each one of them hit me differently. But, you know, I don't think they'd want you to hang on to it for too long. And my wife's uncle just passed away this past week, and it hit her kind of hard because it's her uncle, and her uncle acted like a father to her mother because he was 12 years older than her mother. Yeah. But it brought up memories of her grandfather's passing, who she was close to. So that hit her hard. But then on top of that, she also realized now it's the generation before her. So that generation is starting to pass away, and now we're next in line is what scares her out.
Yeah, no, right on. You have all these thoughts, right? I mean, my aunt, who's 92, she's the last on the Collison side of that generation. The last one. And so, you know, you start having those thoughts. Right. You're like, okay, it's our turn next, right? We're next in line. And so
let's not think about that, Jim.
Yeah. Well, but listen, Jay, it gives you, in the last couple of years, and we go in cycles this way because, you know, we have these family units and they tend to go at similar times. Then we get a break from it and then it comes back around, right? I think it is just a good reminder to cherish the moments, you know, cherish those moments we do have. Take advantage of, you can't live every day like it's the last. We talked about this with my neighbor passing away. We were talking about this from a family perspective. You can't live every day like it's the last. You have to plan for things. You got to prepare for things. There's some moments you need to just rest and relax. There's times you need quiet.
The last day I wouldn't be paying my mortgage.
Yeah. No, right on. No, but, right
yeah,
on.
No, I get it.
Yeah,
it's so tough.
Yeah, it's a good conversation. Most of the folks that listen to this show, similar, they're, you know, we're in the same age category. We're 35 to 75, you know, males, and so we've got these. You know, you're thinking about it, and I don't know. I've liked one of the things that has over the last 13 years that I've been doing Home Gadget Geeks. From time to time, we have this conversation. And I think it's good. We're a community and we spend some time thinking about it. But then you got to move on, right? And you obviously are still paying your mortgage and you're still buying new cars.
Yes. Jay,
why would you buy a new car in 2025? And what did you get?
Well, I bought a new car because the one I had, even though it wasn't all that old to me, I bought it used, and it was seeing the last of its days. I had a Nissan Murano, and just a real... Oh, that's great there, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll get back to my story real quick. But
Tony says Pat Benatar, Travis Tritt, Vince right. Gill. Yeah.
Vince Gill's out with the Eagles right now. I worked on Travis Tritt's record. I love Pat Benatar. I mean, those are some great people. And Larry the Cable Guy, just a great ending to that for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry. I had a Nissan Murano. And just for a little quick backstory, I've had probably about 60 cars in my lifetime. And that's a 6 and a 0, 60 cars. And if out of those 60 cars, about 50 of them have been Nissan. Mm. I'm a big believer in Nissan. I've loved Nissan forever, ever since the 240Z and then the 280Zs and stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So those were like my dream cars. So that's why I always liked Nissan. So, however, in the past, maybe 4 or 5 years now, my wife and I, that's all she's ever had, as well as Nissan. And we were in California. We were up at the state park. What's it? Is it Yosemite or Yellowstone?
Yep, Yosemite. Yep.
So we were up at the top of the mountain, and right as they were closing, we literally just drove through the gate, and her transmission went out. So long story, we made it down the mountain, got the car, took it to Nissan. They replaced the transmission. $9,500 cost.
Yikes.
So they they replaced the transmission.
Yep.
1 year. 1 year almost to the day it went out again.
Oh.
So, and come to find out, Nissan's aware of that issue with their transmissions.
Okay.
So it's really hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
So this time I went out and I decided to change brands. My mother-in-law is a big believer in Honda.
Yep. Yeah.
So, and I have a friend who's a believer in Toyota. Yeah. So I looked at both of them. I decided to fall on the side of Honda, and I bought myself a Honda Accord, a 2025 Honda Accord Sport Hybrid, which is something I never thought I would do.
Yeah, why'd you go with the hybrid?
Well, sir, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, almost like we planned it that way.
It's almost like it's been planned. No, I went with the hybrid. I was not really for it, but I do a lot of driving, whether it be for work or my side work and stuff. I do a lot of driving. On the side, I run a concierge service. So I do a lot of travel. And that's whether it be taking care of artists behind the scenes, driving them from the hotels to the arenas or wherever they're performing. Just things like that. So I wanted something that was good on gas and something that was reliable. I was not looking for flashy, showy, or anything like that. Just had to be acceptable. And there's a certain, behind the scenes, there's a certain group of vehicles that you can purchase. Like they have rated vehicles, a low level, medium level, and a high level. This falls into the medium level vehicle, which is what's required to do this type of service. So I picked that based on the level of vehicle. And then I wanted a Honda because, you know, super reliable. And one of the things the salesperson said, if you put 1,000,000 miles on it, they give you a new one for free.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know if...
I'm sure that's not true.
If anybody could put 1,000,000 miles on a vehicle, I'm sure I could do it. But I would never keep a car that long.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, she told me that if you put 1,000,000 miles on it, and I Googled it, there's people who talk about it, but I don't know how true it is.
Sure.
But then the hybrid part, you know, I got because it was the model of the vehicle that I wanted came in hybrid. You no longer had the option. So to get the one with the fancier toys and all of the stuff that comes in it, you had to get the hybrid. Well, I got it, and so far, I'm telling you, I love it. Mm. The gas mileage, I'm getting roughly the same gas mileage I would get in as far as total miles is the Murano. I'm getting roughly 600 miles to a tank of gas. However, it's cost me $25 to fill my tank.
It was
costing me $55.60.
Right. Yep.
So holy cow, what a difference.
Yeah. You know, I bought an 06 Civic hybrid back in the day, the early versions of those hybrids. And we put, 230,000 miles on that thing before we were done. Paul Breran had that same exact vehicle. He's a listener to the show and been a guest several times, dozens of times now. And so, yeah, I mean, you can that mine was a gutless wonder. Do you feel like you have any, like, did you sacrifice power for that hybrid? Are you feeling a difference between the two vehicles?
No, to be fair, I drive like grandpa.
Okay. Well, I do too, to be so, it worked out for me.
So I'm okay with it. Yeah. But no, I've got the sport model and it does have the adjustable, comfort, economy, normal and sport. Yeah. Yeah. But I keep it in normal pretty much the entire time and it's just fine. It does have quite a bit of pickup and go. The Murano was a 6-cylinder and had a little bit of beef to it, but I never really made too much use of the speed. I'm more of the comfort and the toys that are in the inside. So now the Murano had an amazing amount of toys. It had anything from the panoramic sunroof to the heated back seats. The back seats were reclinable. It had heated steering wheel, all the bells and whistles. Now the Honda being a car versus an SUV, it doesn't have quite the same amount of toys, but it has a good amount of them, and it has some different toys that I'm not used to. Like it has built-in Wi-Fi, it has built-in Alexa, that type of stuff. And I better mute that while I mention that.
How big is the screen in the...
The screen is very large compared... It's like I have the Alexa screen here next to me, and it's at least two of those wide. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact dimensions.
19 is, I think, what it says here. No, 12. 12, sorry, 19 would be huge.
It would be, 30, yeah, GoPro's whole dashboard.
12.3-inch touchscreen.
Yeah, on that. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And what I noticed about that is the Apple CarPlay is, it fits within the window and then leaves you extra space on the window to put other things on the screen. Or it gives you the option to expand it full screen. So if you expand it full screen, you get many, many more little icons on the screen.
Is it landscape or portrait?
Landscape.
Landscape? Yeah, the Subaru, by the way, which, you know, I have a 21 Legacy. It's got a 17-inch. It's pretty big screen on there. But I just got a warranty extension for that today. So they're like, hey, we said we'd cover it for 3 years, but, and I've had some problems with it. I mean, it's the entertainment center has been slow. It hasn't responded well. I got an update and it started working really well. And then I got an update and it's like, they put it back to what it was, which makes me wonder if like the fixed version was burning chips out or something like that. Right. Right. You know, we got to slow this stuff down a little bit. But I got a warranty notification extension and they took it from 3 years to 8. I'm like, all right. Well, that sounds good.
I'll take it.
That sounds good. It's not
like $20,000
Subaru. Yeah. Subaru, underpowered their entertainment center. Do you feel like, I'm assuming it has Apple CarPlay or Android, whatever.
It
Android
does. Auto. Yep.
And so what do you use? I use
CarPlay for CarPlay. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When did you pick it up? And
I've had it about a month now.
Okay. Yeah.
So far, I still don't have the final tags for the vehicle. So that's shows you I haven't had it too long, which kills me, by the way, because it puts me out of work on my side hustle because I have to have plates in order to do the side hustle.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm waiting. It's been about a month, about 4 weeks without any of that work.
Well, you should be close. You should be getting that.
Yeah, I went to the dealership yesterday because I said, look, if you just give me a temporary registration, I'll be good.
Yeah.
And they said, we don't do that. But he looked it up and he goes, well, you know, either way, he goes, it was mailed out. You should have your tags by Friday.
Okay. The website says 51 city and 44 on the highway, which seems kind of weird. I better
that. Yeah, doesn't it seem weird that the city miles is higher
backwards?
It's that way with all of them.
204 horsepower. I think, you know, now Honda's been doing this for a long time. I mean, I was in 06. That was 20 years ago. So they've had 20 years to work on those hybrids. Did you, you know, I think Joe had said in chat, he just picked up the Model Y.
Yeah.
Nice Any car. Thoughts on going completely EV? We're going to, Ed Sullivan's going to come on the show in a, well, when it, whenever he gets his car delivered, he's moved away from Tesla. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but he's gone with another EV. We'll spend some time talking to him about that. Any thoughts of going completely electrical on this or completely battery?
Well, I was against it completely. I didn't even want the hybrid. And like I said, I got the hybrid based on the model of the vehicle that I wanted and needed to do my side work.
Okay.
So I did think about going with the Tesla, and you could even get the Tesla S and go to the high level. You can be the higher level vehicle. But I just, with the research and everything, Honda seemed like the Honda or Toyota were the way I wanted to go. And because I wasn't going to go with electric at all. But so it was, I wanted the reliability of those, those two companies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. The hybrid, which was a big deal for a while. And then, of course, over the last 10 years, it's been full electric. I'm surprised Honda is still making a hybrid. When you mentioned that to me, I was like, huh, they're still doing that? But they put a lot of infrastructure in place, you know, both the Civic and the Accord. You have the Accord. Both the Civic and the Accord have had hybrid models for a long time now. Like I mentioned, my Civic was a 1.2 liter. You know, you have at least a 2 liter engine in that thing. I had a 1.2 liter engine in that. It was a dog. My daughter, you know, Sammy drove it until she was in an accident, you know, a couple months ago, and then picked up, she's picked up a, I should know the year on this. It's about 10 years old. So maybe a 2015 Civic. And she's like, Dad, that thing has so much power. You know, it's not a hybrid. It's just a regular ICE. And
they got one on the showroom floor that's beautiful.
Yeah. And she's just surprised. She's like, man, I can accelerate on this thing. Now, full electric, you could also, I've been in a full electric with full acceleration. Thanks, Ed Sullivan. And you're like, wah, you know, head against the, you know, the headrest. And you're thinking, I'm right, never going to no get out up, of this
instant
seat.
Go.
Yeah. No, right on. No, right
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Even with the Accord, there's no buildup. I step on the gas, it goes. And it also, it's weird. It's the loudest, quietest car I've ever had, because when it's in electric mode, you can't hear anything. And then when it kicks in, then you hear the noise of a, you know, combustion engine. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Is it, they must have changed some things, because, you know, it was the 06 I had was the engine was full time, and then it would use the electric as assist. Do you have moments on that?
You can shut the, electric? You can make it fully electric if you want.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how long it probably lasts 20 miles.
Yeah. Right.
But you can switch it to golf cart mode for sure.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. It feels and sounds like I'm driving a golf cart.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian says he'll never buy an ICE, you know, an internal combustion engine. I don't know. I am still a little leery of all electric. Now I live in Nebraska. So, okay, there's that. But I've been, my 21 Legacy, 2021 Legacy, I really like it. And I don't know. I'm having a hard time.
I was against this, but so far I love it.
Was the choice yours? Did you, was it the wife's choice?
Why
did
no, you? It's my vehicle. She drives a Infiniti QX60, the 3-row family vehicle.
Yeah.
But for me, the biggest thing that I had to look for is a vehicle that fell into at least the mid-range and had the most legroom in the back. Those were the biggest concerns. It was passenger comfort versus my comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wanted the Touring Edition because it had not only, it was the same exact vehicle, but the differences were it had heated steering wheel, which I love, but I don't need. But it also had heated back seats, which is passenger. So the passengers would feel the comfort of that. And my Murano had the heated back seats, and it's a very odd thing to think about. But being here in the winter, everybody really appreciated that. And when you're driving, you know, musicians or celebrities around,
true.
That's just a perk for them. And I never have more than one, maybe two people in the car. So what I end up doing is the back seat is, it has the most leg room from most out of almost all of the vehicles I looked at, which was a plus. Because even the Toyota Camry or the Toyota Avalon, which they don't make anymore, didn't have the same amount of leg room. And then what happens is most people get in on the passenger side in the back. So I move the passenger front seat forward and they get even more leg room.
Yep. Yep.
And when it's just one person, if they have a manager or somebody that rides with them, they'll get in the front seat.
Right.
So, yeah. But typically they're in the back, and as long as I can make it as comfortable as possible for them, they're fine.
You know, Subaru, the Legacy, I think, died at 2024, and the sedan, the day of the sedan is kind of, maybe it's coming to a close. Did you consider an SUV at all in this process?
That's the only regret I have, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted the car because when you're doing, again, it goes back to the purpose of the vehicle is for the side hustle. And most of those, when you're driving one person around, the car is the best way to do it. However, I was using the Murano. It's a midsize SUV. But people loved it because it had a lot of room, had all the toys. It was really good. It just was, mine was just at the end of its life. So I decided to switch to a car, but I think I could have probably gone with at least a midsize SUV again. I was thinking about going with, you know, an Escalade or a Suburban or something large for if they wanted to do the whole band or something at one time. But that's really not the service I provide. I provide the one-on-one attention service.
Right.
So to me, the Suburban would just be a gas guzzler and things like that. Wouldn't be economical for what I needed. Too so bad. I went with the car, but I think I probably could have got away with maybe their midsize SUV. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, for my old butt getting in and out of that car.
Yeah, it's a little higher, a little easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was such a difference because I went from a car to the Murano, but then going back, now all of a sudden the car feels like it's so much lower than, you know, it's not what I remember.
I kind of like it. I'm not going to lie. I just had a buddy who he's got a 2012 Legacy, and I was ferrying him. We were going out for a happy hour, and so I was taking him to happy hour with me, and we were talking about it, and he's like, oh, this is really kind of nice. You know, he got into 2021. He's like, this is kind of nice. And I kind of like, I mean, I would have gone with the Outback. I mean, that would have been my
beautiful car,
the next level up. And we have an Outback. We have a 2016 Outback. And I think we'll probably do one more. I'll probably trade that 2016 in at some point for Sarah to get what she really wants, maybe in the last. I think if I can get this 2021 to last for me for the next 20 years.
You're done.
I think I'm kind of done. Yeah, I mean, would it be nice to have an EV? Yeah. You know, hey, listen, that thing could get into an accident and I could be forced into another car, right? But I'm kind of at this point now where I'm like, oh, maybe I can sneak this thing out in the, you know, and not, maybe this could be my last one.
I have a few friends that have the Outback. My neighbor has two of them, two brand new ones, and they're beautiful looking, but they look a lot meaner and tougher.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like that personally, but for what I'm doing, the more sleek look, I've got it's black and it's, you know, it's all very sleek looking. So for what I need, that's good. But I was thinking about it the other day when I was waiting for the registration, you know, if I do ever have a need, like I had for that Murano, my wife's got the Infiniti. It's also black but it's the QX60 with the three rows. So it might not be the standard Suburban, but it would still get the job done.
Yeah.
So if I do need it, so what I ended up doing is I registered both of them.
Okay.
So I'll drive the Honda for the majority of the time, but the Infiniti whenever I just need it.
Yeah, I know. Right on. It's kind of nice to have those. Kind of nice to have those choices.
We'll have to take the baby seat out.
For sure. Tony out in chat says didn't take long. He has a why am I blanking on the name? He has a
Tony, help us out, buddy.
No. Anyways, he says took a long, didn't take long to get the shade on the roof, right? I wish it didn't have the panoramic sunroof that's on there. And you know, that's a nice, you know, that's a nice thing. That was a really nice feature for them to have on that. He did say his second choice would have been a new CRV.
Yeah, that's what I should have done.
I don't know. I went back and forth. I mean, we've been a Honda family. All my boys have Hondas. And you know, I had that Honda Civic that I drove for, you know, a lot of miles. Sarah liked the Subaru. And then when I started looking at cars, I was like, well, maybe I'll go Subaru too. Now Sammy bought a Honda. So we're in that same, I mean, she wanted a sedan, and she looked for, you know, she was going to either go with a, you know, a 2015, 2016 Legacy, like, a, you know, like I have, or she was going to go with a Civic. And that was kind of, or an Accord if she could have afforded. You know, it kind of depended on how much it was. So yeah, Tony has a Model Y. Thanks, Tony. I was trying to remember that. A Tesla.
The one we were just talking about. That's the one you can remember.
Completely blanked out. Like I could not. I could not remember that.
I would have done good with the CRV. The new ones look pretty sharp and would have been aggressive as maybe the RAV4 would have been, which was the other one I would have looked at. But the CRV is, it's just a, you know, okay looking SUV. It would have done the trick for me for sure. But my mother-in-law has one. She has a real old one. And it's still running with, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles on it. So it's a good sign. But it was ugly when she, you know, her, not ugly, just plain. It was very plain looking. So the new ones are a little sleeker, but not enough flair.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She also has the Ridgeline. He just mentioned the Ridgeline.
Yeah, Tony says it found the Honda Ridgeline very practical. It's a little pricey, just for a truck. Well, listen, all trucks are ridiculous right now. Like, I would love to have the smallest little Toyota I could get my hands on, but they're like $50,000, and you're like, I don't think so. Yeah.
If it wasn't for the work, I would have liked to get the Tacoma for sure.
Yeah. 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 Anything in the car, anything surprise you in the car from a technology perspective? Anything that you
I wasn't expecting it to have built-in Wi-Fi or Alexa.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So both those things came with the car. No, after 3 months, I think it is, you have to pay for those services, which I figured you must have to when I've seen the advertisements that the cars have it. You're basically just putting, a cell phone in your vehicle. So it's AT&T service. You got to pay $10 a month for it.
Yeah, the subscription stuff in vehicles is getting out of place. Uncle Marv, don't worry about it. He's got a Jeep Grand Cherokee. It's okay. It's all right. You're among friends here. We're just, you know, just whatever's new. Like I said, you know, Ed Sullivan did – I think something surprising. I don't want to ruin the surprise when we think about this, what he went with. We've been talking about it for a while, but he replaces Tesla with something, and I think you guys are going to be surprised. But Uncle Marv, it's okay. Your Jeep Grand Cherokee, just fine. I think the A-Lady, the Apple, you know, the Apple stuff, the Android stuff. I think we're going to look back on some of that like 7 years from now, 5 to 7 years, and go, what were we thinking? Like, you know, it, and here's the problem. Those cars last a lot longer than that technology does. And I just think, you know, if you had a 2016 car that had in-dash, you know, that had an entertainment center, that had maps, and they don't have a way to update those anymore, and you're like using
it,
you're like, oh my God, like, this is horrible. Right. I kind of wonder, this is one of the areas where the car manufacturers have kind of drugged their feet, and not because it is changing so fast. They have not necessarily put the infrastructure in that's allowed you to change quickly, nor are they interested in supporting any, like, they're not used to supporting any of that stuff. after the second you buy it. Like, they want to give it to you, and they want to be done with it for the most part, right? And that's just a new thought. Listen, Tesla has kind of changed that. They're certainly, I mean, they're sending updates all the time to those cars, good or bad, right? From that perspective. But the rest of the manufacturers, they're kind of like, we want to give it to you, and then we want to forget about it, basically, right?
Well, let me ask you a question while we're talking about the technology.
Yeah.
I have not had a vehicle that has had Alexa or any or the Wi-Fi in it before. Those are both two new features to me.
Yeah.
I get the Wi-Fi you get to pay for, but does the Alexa work if you don't have Wi-Fi?
I don't know. That's a good question. Probably not. I mean, the car's got to be connected for it. You got to be connected.
Right. I mean, I'm assuming it's not going to work, because if it's on your phone, you've got access to the internet. But if it's on the car and you don't have pay for that service, you're probably not going to get that either.
Yeah. Well, it's a good question. And I think it varies by manufacturer, and I think it varies by service level. I mean, I just renewed, you know, we have not Starlink, but I had Ed look this up for me the last time. Whatever it is on the in Subaru, you know, I'm paying $150 a year or something like that for that emergency button that you can push and get OnStar. It's OnStar. That's what it is. You can get the OnStar stuff, and is in the Subaru package. If I want to get, like, my remote start is tied to a subscription.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that would really bother me.
If I want to keep, for sure, right? If I want to keep the remote start working, I've got to pay the, subscription fee now. Now, because I'm paying a fee, in theory, they keep that up to date, right? So it continues to work. It's one of those things.
That's a scary one.
Yeah, no, that's the reality of it. At least with Subaru, you know, you're paying. That's the one fee I continue to pay because I like. You know, like a warm car in the winter. You know, I like to push the buttons on my phone and the car starts, and then I go out, you know, 9 minutes later and it's nice and toasty.
I miss the heated steering wheel, but I'll tell you, the heated seats are night and day different.
Yeah.
And you know what I noticed about the Accord doesn't have the air conditioned seats, it only has the heated.
Oh, okay.
Now I think if I did get the Touring Edition, I would have been able to have both. But the Murano had both. And I didn't like the air-conditioned seats, or whatever they call them, ventilated seats. It was too cold on my back. It felt weird. But the heated seats, because I had both, the heated seats never really got hot. Where the back seats in the Murano were only heated only, and they would get like an oven. And the Accord, because it's heated only, they get like an oven for sure.
Yeah.
But you were talking about Starlink. Honda's got their Honda Link or whatever it is. But what I like about it, I look it up right now. I just turn on the app. It tells me how many miles I have. It tells me how many miles till empty. Yep. It's like, oh, that's kind of cool. It tells me, you know, how much my oil changed life and all that stuff.
Yep.
So I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Miles to the next. That. You can Home Assistant. The Subaru has a Home Assistant app that I can have it on my Home Assistant dashboard. Tony says
that's adding the Alexa thing to it.
Yeah. No, right on. Yeah, Tony says... Toyota's pulling the same BS with many of their brands, right? And then this is a good thought, too. And being a monitor guy, you know, this is kind of important to me as well. But when all these massive multiple
monitors,
screens.
Not a monitor guy, 12.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay. But, I mean, in the car, I could. Well, if I could put 12 in the car, I would. But, what happens when you need those, you know, they're not supported anymore and you need those replaced, those big monitors in the, well, and I, you know, I just said Subaru just extended their warranty out to 8 years for those screens now. So it's like, oh, they must have had some problems with them. I have a feeling I'm going to be replacing my screen in the next maybe couple years. You know, we'll have to see what happens. I do not have a heated steering wheel. I know it's great, but I have ever.
You don't know. Unless you have one, especially living where you do or where I do.
Maybe that's
true. Those things are awesome.
Maybe that's true. I start my car. It has 10 minutes of runtime. I time it so I'm down there at 9. That Legacy heats up super fast. I put the seats on maximum heat. They're too hot for me when I get there. Yeah. I got to turn them off. I'm almost sweating.
Getting burned, yeah. Back.
You know, you're
that's
like...
That's what the Accord's like for sure.
Right.
It's hot when it's on the top setting. It's hot. You know, my wife's car has got the 10 minutes as well. She's got a time and she does it twice. So she runs it for 20 minutes before she goes
out. That would be... Yeah.
She's, you know, double cooked.
I wish I could extend mine out. The other thing I noticed on mine is if it doesn't have enough gas, like if it's low, it won't start it. It'll be like, sorry, you don't have enough gas. And I'm like, no, I'll take the chance.
I've never experienced that.
Yeah. Yeah. The other day I thought I'd started it and I came out and it wasn't started. It was cold. And I'm like, what the? And I get in and it wasn't on E, but it was pretty close. And I was like, no, it's 10 minutes. I'll take the chance. Like, start the car.
Now, I'm not a car guy when it comes to the engine. I don't know anything about I can't do anything to a car. I'll be lucky if I can change a tire or change
an oil. Anymore, you can't. Yeah.
But I heard someone say the other day, it was on some show, that people are under the impression when you start your car in the morning, like from remote start and let it warm up for 10 minutes or whatever, that it's better for the engine than just starting it and going. And they were saying that there's really no difference these days if you start your car and just go engine wise.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if there's any truth to that.
I don't know. Chat, what do you think out there? We got some smart guys. I don't know. My dad, I remember a very specific moment where I got in a car one time with my dad. I was driving him and I started the car and I gave it a second to just kind of do its thing. Right. And then I, you know, put it in gear and we backed up and he goes, thank you for letting the car warm up. Everybody just goes right into drive. Right now. I mean, he drove a team of horses at some point. Right. So let's be really clear. I mean, my dad was an old guy. But I don't know. That's an interesting question. Certainly in the world of electric cars, it doesn't matter anymore, right? I mean, you can warm
batteries
the car.
Batteries on.
It'll warm. Yeah, it'll turn on the car. It'll run an electric heater. It'll heat your seats. And if you've paid the extortion price, it'll heat your steering wheel, right?
Right.
That's exactly. Extortion, by the way. The steering wheel is extortion. Everything else standard?
I told the lady, I'm like, hey, I don't get the heated steering wheel in this model. And she's like, you can add it for
$1,500. Oh, God. It's there.
Without it. Thank
you. Right? It's there.
Yeah. All of the technology is there to plug it in if I buy a new steering wheel.
It's extortion.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And they're like, oh, yeah. And then the Tesla owners are just like, okay, I'll just turn over the money to you, you know. And you're like, it's extortion there. You know, anyways.
Oh, speaking of Tesla, I'm glad you mentioned that again.
Yeah.
This vehicle does not have self-driving mode by any stretch, right? But the lady tried to sell it to me as if it kind of did. And it has the adaptive cruise control and the lane departure assist. To the point where, I mean, it will turn the car, if I turn it all on, it will practically drive itself down the road.
Yeah.
You can't tell it where to take you, but it will not veer from the lanes and it keeps you there.
Yeah.
The problem I have with that is you have to have your hands on the steering wheel.
The same thing in a Tesla, by the way.
It's like, why? I don't want my, if I'm doing this, I don't want my hands on the steering wheel.
They're not ready. Listen, they're not ready to give you complete. They're not ready for complete autonomy.
Right.
Right. It's not ready yet. But you're right. You can, I mean, in mine, it ding, ding. It says, put your hands back on the steering
wheel. Right.
Right. And you're like, you know, there are things you can buy where you can put them on the steering wheel.
That's just
mimics your hands, right?
That's the same thing. You buy those little adapters where you can put YouTube up on your
display. Yeah, I know. Right on. Not safe, but you can do it. Tony says one auto channel says idle until it's no longer idling high. And also don't go until 10,000 K until you do your oil changes. Yeah. You can do it. Although with synthetic oil.
That's a good question. Yeah. What is the optimum? I thought with synthetic, you can go a little higher these days.
Yeah. You know, as cheap as an oil change is for the most part, you know, I think just do it as often as you need to, right? That's one of those, how do you drive? How do you, are you driving hard? Are you driving easy on that thing?
Well, is this thing says I'm 70% left till I need an oil change.
Yeah, I'd go with
and the, I'm at 3,500 miles already.
Yeah, I'd go with the reminder. Whatever they recommend, I'd kind of go with. Right.
Yeah. Keep you in the warranty anyway.
You know, and so I don't think that's bad. I mean, okay. Yeah. I'm paying $100 for now for an oil change. I remember when they were $20. But that being said, it's a lot cheaper, you know, than other things for your car.
I just did a $100 oil change on the Murano before I traded it in.
No, right on. They're $100.
Let me ask you a question technology wise as we talk about how to cheat the system.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need the hands for the steering wheel. My hands can handle being cold for a minute or two.
Yeah.
But we talked about the YouTube on the display. Now, as a driver, I don't care about having YouTube on the display. You know, that doesn't, I don't need to be watching YouTube while driving down the road.
Right.
But for the service I do, that would be a handy feature to have. So, two things. Do you know of any that would give you that feature? And do you know of any display you can buy that I could put on the back of the headrest so the passenger can see that?
Yeah, you could. I mean, there's a whole bunch of, I mean, you could buy a USB monitor that you put back there, and then you just need a dongle to go to the phone. Yeah, you can. There's lots of ways to extend that, I think, to get.
So you're extending the phone. You're not extending the car.
Correct. Yeah, you would extend the phone. Yeah, the car is pretty much not going to do it for you. There might be some ways to hack it, but you're probably better off using your phone for that service and then pushing the picture from your phone.
Could you push picture from? I know you could.
I'd put an Android tablet in.
I was going to say I'm just going to put an iPad.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was wondering, could you? I mean, I'm sure you can because you can use your iPad as a display. But can you push your phone to your iPad?
For sure. For sure. Yeah, you could just stream it or whatever. There's all kinds of.
But there's all with kinds the wireless in the vehicle, even if you have a non.
It's a gimmick. The Wi-Fi in the car is an old thought. Like, nobody needs that anymore. Like, think about it. You get in the car, you have. This was in a day where you would serve up, like, the car would be connected to some kind of service. And then. Or. In theory, you could have one phone that feeds the car the Wi-Fi, and then everybody connects to that. But we don't live in that. I mean, we have internet everywhere now.
Right. So my thought for what I do is, like, people have iPads that don't have the built-in cell service, and people have laptops when they're in the car that they're, you know, sending emails or stuff that they, unless they connect to their phone, that they don't have the ability to connect Wi-Fi. So I don't know if that's still an issue these days.
If you were in a situation, say you were out rural and the only service was Verizon and you had Verizon, then it makes sense the guest in your car has T-Mobile and they can't get connectivity. Then it makes sense to turn on your car's Wi-Fi, connect your phone. Now, or you could just turn on your phone's hotspot and then just tell
that's what I do now for guests who need it. I just turn on my hotspot. Yeah,
it's the car Wi-Fi is kind of a gimmick for the most part now.
Well, it's just AT&T cell service.
I mean, you can have your car where you buy Wi-Fi for your car and the car connects all the time. Or in some situations, you can connect your phone to the car, and then the car Wi-Fi is just being serviced by your phone, right? So I definitely would not pay to have my car connected to the internet on a regular basis. I just think those days are over.
The other thing with that too is they limit your bandwidth.
For sure they do. Yeah, I think it's overpriced for what you get.
$10 a month.
Yeah, your phone is going to be a lot more. You know, it's going to be
Doesn't get limited.
Right. Right.
And we have the family plan because, you know, I get 200 women in my house. But my phone is the only one out of the families that has the hotspot capability.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think you're just better turning your phone on a hotspot. I can't. I couldn't see why. Listen, the
except
Subaru
for the
makes
Alexa it, feature that if that requires the car to have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but you could still like you could go in and connect your car to your phone and then still use that service, right?
I don't know. Think, I've never used it.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I would use it. Listen, you can take. I mean, I could take my phone and load the A-Lady app.
Yes, which I have.
And I don't find myself using it that much when I'm driving. You know, it's just not a thing.
The reason they say to use it is because you can lock your doors from your phone if you're like at a hotel somewhere. You can do things like that. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know again how any of that works because I don't have that feature.
Yeah.
Those seem like things that I wouldn't need.
Sometimes it's solving problems that don't exist.
Right. I would need would be for my passengers who have a laptop or a tablet that don't have Wi-Fi.
I would just turn on your
hotspot, which is what I do now
on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's way more efficient that way. Uncle Marv, let's get to some chat. Uncle Marv says warming the car is no longer necessary, especially with the synthetic oils. Tony says, don't miss start and stop. This is a feature I can't turn off automatically on my Subaru. When you idle, when you stop at a gas, you know, when you stop at a stoplight, it'll turn off the engine. And then when you press the accelerator, it turns it back on, right? Or actually when you lift off the brake, it turns it back on. I hate that.
Yeah.
And I cannot turn it off. I have to manually turn it off every driving session.
Our work vehicles have that. And you can turn it on and off, but like you said, you have to start the vehicle, then turn it off.
Yeah, I can't. Joe says he disabled it on his F-150. I cannot figure out how to disable that feature. I've been in the settings on the car, and, Tony, so I can't fix it. Tony says, too bad John isn't here. Yeah, John, where are you? John Biggs, where are you? To defend FSD, right? Self-driving. I try to never use it again.
I used to, when I was in California providing the security, we were providing it for the self-driving cars. And they were driving all around town, which is just odd to me the way it worked. You'd see a car come back into the garage with nobody in it.
Yeah.
It was always funny.
Tony said he rented it for a month, but glad he didn't pay the $8,000 for it up front. And Brian says, I had free full self-driving for a couple times. Didn't like using it too much either. Overall, I prefer different routes than the car wanted to take. Yeah. I like driving. I may be weird or I'm just old school, but I kind of like driving. I like to be in control.
I love driving. I want to be, I want the experience, but I will tell you that I don't have the self-driving features, but all of the adaptive and lane departure stuff, I don't like it. I like the adaptive cruise control.
The lane control I don't like, but the adaptive is awesome.
I shut the lane control off because every time I would get too close to a line, it would shake the car and move me back.
Yeah, the wheel gets a little shaky, and then it kind of stresses you out, right? But the adaptive.
Right, that one I like. Because you're on cruise control, it just starts to slow down. The only thing I don't like about that is the speed up time, the reaction time to speed back up is slow. So if you got like an 18-wheeler that pulls in front of you, it slows down and everybody's fine because you're slowing down because of the truck there. But if that truck then moves back over, it takes what feels like forever to get the speed back up.
Yeah.
Once it finally clicks and it lays on the gas and it takes you right back up there fast, but it just takes too long for it to click.
Yeah. Subaru has three or four different levels of lane changing aggression. If that's what you want to say. And so you can kind of say, hey, if you're going to change lanes while using adaptive, do you want it super aggressive or aggressive or medium or slow? I have it on the most aggressive setting. It's slot car mode. Like I pull out and that thing takes off. And
I see what you're saying to go back up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Check your settings.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about the lane departure because lane departure. The settings.
Yeah.
Soft, slow, whatever it is, and
right.
I shut those off.
Yeah.
But the adaptive has settings of how quickly it will slow down. I don't know. I'll have to check to see if it has how quickly it goes back up. It'll
speed up. And
that's what I need.
Yeah, I pull out and that thing takes off. And sometimes too fast. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, that's what it does. When it finally goes, it goes.
Yeah.
That's funny. But yeah, I mean, those are the type of features I like. To me, it's all about the comfort and the stuff inside the car.
Yeah.
There's a few things I miss. The Murano was just definitely overkill for all the toys it had in it. The Pilot, that's what my wife's looking at now.
Yeah, Tony says my wife's Pilot, Honda Pilot, lane keep scares the crap out of me. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the lane control or however that is. It is a little nice, like if the roads are clear and you're distracted and you've got it on adaptive cruise, and however you're distracted, right? Let's just say that. It is kind of nice because it will keep you in the lane, right? And so, you know, I can't. I'm not using the lane keeper in traffic. It's too, right. It doesn't feel right. Like, it does not feel right.
And that's
long-time
highway stuff for sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to use it there. And maybe I'm sure the Tesla stuff is better. But I'm not going to use. Now, adaptive in traffic, I use all the time. Because I don't have to touch it's really good at keeping you at a safe distance, both forward and backwards from people and knowing if someone's pulling into your lane, and it'll slow down and pull you back, and it's really good at that. So that's something I do use a lot.
Well, let me ask you or chat. It has the econ mode. Now, what that's doing is, you know, you step on the gas pedal, it takes off like a turtle off and
just less power.
Which is fine with me because that's how I drive anyways. Matter of fact, I switched it to econ mode, and I kid you not, I did not feel a difference because how I drive anyway. Yeah, right. But I was talking to my wife about it because she says, oh, that drives me crazy being in the econ mode. But my question to you is, if, like, say for some reason you have to step on it, does it override the econ mode at some point?
Yeah, that's interesting. You would want to test that out. I would think that would be by model and by engine. So, you know, what you might want to do is take the car out and just punch it in econ mode to see what you get. You know, try it a couple times to see what it's certainly going to be muted, right? It's got some things, you know, I'm sure the computer is controlling all of that and the air, you know, the gas to air mixture and some of those kinds of things, right?
Just if you're trying to avoid an accident or something happens.
Yeah, I would take it out and try it just to see what your comfort level is on the econ mode. You know, sometimes you have to ask that question, like, how much are you really saving on econ
mode? Nothing. I put it in econ mode and I did it for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I only have 3,500 miles on the car.
Yeah,
but I did it for a long period of time, long stretch, to see what the miles per gallon turned out to be, and it actually turned out to be less than in the normal mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like driving in the city is better than driving on the highway for some reason.
Well, because it's using the electric assist.
I'm assuming every time you're in the city, you're on and off the gas, but also you're charging the electric. You're
recharging the electric, and then you're using it to accelerate, right? It's got electric assist on the thing. Or in your case, it sounds like it's actually using the electric to drive, right? For short distances in the city, electric is perfect. Like, a battery in the city is absolutely perfect, right? Where you don't necessarily, where it doesn't shine often is fast, long distances. And so, I mean, it can. Everybody who has a Tesla is like, that's not true. Okay, right, whatever. But
the other thing I wanted to ask you too is on the display, you can display the power distribution.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, those displays are fancy.
It looks they awesome.
Fancy. Yeah.
It looks like you're driving a spaceship or something.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
You know, when I got in the car and that's what the default screen is, the power distribution. Yeah. So you get in the car as a test driver, somebody who's never been in it, and I'm like, what the hell is all this?
Yeah.
But I watch it and I'm starting to get an idea based on color and where the distribution looks like it's going, but it's got to have a meaning to it. And I just don't know what the meaning is. So I don't know if you or someone in the chat might
know. No, I don't. I haven't had a car that had the, my Civic did not have that display. Like the 06s were very stripped down hybrids. And we didn't have those fancy. In the next, I think 08, 09, you know, 2010, they started putting all these fancy displays that would show the distribution out to the wheels and stuff. That was kind of a gimmick. But it was, right? I mean,
it does look
cool. It does look super cool.
I just want to know, does it actually mean something or is it just there to look cool?
No, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both, Jay, right? I mean, I think it's a little bit of, it is accurate. I mean, it is showing the distribution out to your, you know, the whatever's going out to the axles, so to speak. But it is made to look a little cooler than I think it actually is, you know? You know?
Well, that's what I was wondering. And I also noticed today when I shut the car off, it looks like what I thought was underneath the car, but it looks like right under the back seats, it was lighting up red like it was hot.
Oh.
Like it was trying to show me something was hot.
Yeah.
But I read the message and it said something like, check your back seat for passengers or whatever. Oh. I was like, that's a...
It might have, like, okay, so it might have sensed at some point there was something back there. And then oftentimes it's just a convenient, like, hey, you left something back. There's groceries back here or there's.
That would make sense because I picked my daughter up from dance class and she threw her bag in the back seat.
So it was probably sensing that. And then that's just a convenience factor. It's just like, hey, don't forget the thing. Don't forget the ice cream that you got in the back seat because it's 90,000 degrees outside or whatever.
Right? You never forget ice cream.
No, right on. My Subaru says goodbye when I get out. You know, it's like, thanks for coming. Goodbye.
Thanks for spending time with me.
It will give me a message like if there was somebody or if I set something in the seats, it'll say, hey, don't forget to look in the back or don't forget the, you know, you might have put something on.
So yeah, these are features that my other car didn't have.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're convenient. They're fun, I guess, but.
Yeah, no, it's getting smarter. It'll be interesting to see. We were going to talk about some AI, but I think we're good. Tony says once you get above 70 in a Tesla, your efficiency starts to go down. Yeah, I mean there's a certain point in time when your air drag, and you know, like those cars aren't made to go. You know, it's not a bullet train. For God's sake,
so you don't leave your kids.
Yeah, no, that's true too. That's true too. Like, hey, there's something in the back. You want to make sure. You,
it's like, don't forget your kids.
Yeah, don't forget your kids back there. You want to make sure.
I could never forget my kids because they don't shut up.
I think yeah, for sure. This is just not your kids, by the way. I think.
What are you trying to say? They're not my kids.
I think. Well, I don't know. You be the judge. you be the judge.
No, you want to hear a dumbass story? I was at work the other day, and my wife sends me a text message and says. Your daddy. And I'm like, yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. And she goes, no, we just got the results back. You're a daddy. Mm. Now, she's not talking about she's pregnant because we're definitely long past that at this point. I don't touch her anymore.
Right, yeah.
But she got the DNA tests back because apparently my kid that's in high school has to do this project at school where they submitted their DNA.
Oh, wow. Like 23andMe or something?
Yeah, it's one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it came back and she goes, you're a daddy. I'm like, was there actually a concern of yours? I'm like, you got something you want to tell me? And she goes, I did not think that. I'm like, no, I did.
But well, it's good. No. It's good to know. It's good to know. It's good to have some science in there, right?
Well, and let me ask your opinion on this sidetrack. Sorry if you...
No, that's fine.
It came back. It says, we're Italian. So it says 25% Italian. But then she goes, look, she's only 25% Italian. And then it says 75% European.
Yeah.
I'm like, where do you think Italy is?
Well, it's not exclusive. Right. They're, yeah, right. Right.
So I'm like,
was there any Neanderthal in there? Typically,
that's on my side.
Yeah. Typically, Europeans have some Neanderthal. Neanderthal, I guess, is actually the way you're supposed to say it. But
I don't know. I've not checked that close.
Have some of that DNA. Yeah, I haven't done that yet. I probably should. I have some Native American ancestry.
It's interesting.
In me. Yeah. Yeah.
It changes all the time. They send us updates. So the better they get at it, you keep getting updates.
Well, that's kind of cool. Yeah, that would seem to make sense. I should do it. I mean, it's what, $100 or whatever?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. Yeah, yeah. The school, I guess we did it for free. So
yeah, I still am amazed by this statement that so you don't leave your kids.
Right.
That's awesome.
Love you, Tony. Thanks,
buddy. That is super awesome. Yeah, Tony, appreciate you guys. Whoops. Hold on. What did you say? Sounds like both a science and geography lesson. Yeah, no, for sure. Right. For sure. Yeah, some good stuff. Well, Jay, thanks for hanging out with me tonight. Thanks for answering the call. It was I haven't talked with Jay in a while, so good to have you back on. Always good. Do you think AI will infiltrate the vehicle? I mean, we still don't really have
true AI
for the most part. True. Well, or the large language models that we know of today. They're not infiltrating. And it doesn't seem like that application is really there yet. Like, what are you going to say? Correct my conversation? Right. Or like, I maybe search? I don't know.
It's good for that type of stuff. Yeah. I did that stupid thing where I connected ChatGPT to my phone.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you could use it instead of the lady in the phone.
Right, right.
So I ask it questions when I'm driving. It gives me better answers than... than Apple's version. So it's cool. But that's what I was wondering too. It's like, again, if you pay for the $10 a month to have Alexa in the car, is it to ask it questions and give you answers, or is it just so you can use the Home Assistant features with the car?
Maybe both. Maybe both.
So right. That's I'm probably not going to pay the service fee, but yeah, that would be something I'd want to know before I did.
Yeah. Yeah, I think both for sure. I'm just kind of interested, you know, for me thinking through like what would be the real benefit of the current implementation of large language models. Let's in what we're doing. Now maybe the car data is being fed in. I mean, this may be a situation where a local LLM, a local model, where it's collecting the car, cuz your car generates a ton of data.
Right.
Right. I mean, way more than we think. And you might start thinking like, okay, if it started feeding in engine information, and then the car could maybe start thinking like, hey, of all the vehicles that are out there, this is especially like if you could take your own data and apply it to an existing car model.
Right.
Then it would start saying, hey,
past the previous 1,000 Honda Accords.
Right.
You know, right. At this time in their lifespan, they needed XY service.
Yeah, you might want to think about doing this because of that, right, type deal, right, where I think that could be, that kind of stuff could be beneficial.
Yeah, that would be beneficial for sure. I mean, if even, like we mentioned here, that the CVT transmission in Nissan sucks, but even if you knew it was going to go out before it did.
Yeah, yeah. What are the signs? Now, listen. The car manufacturers are not motivated to give you that kind of data.
Because right, they make their money in service.
Right, right. At service, and they don't want you to report something early for a warranty, right?
Check out Brian's comment there.
So he says, Alexa just got it, announced an update for more AI features. They did. 20 a month were included with Prime. I have Prime, so I guess I'll get it. Mm-hmm. Alexa, disregard. I shouldn't have said the word. Now she won't shut up.
Now you're ordering something.
Yeah. Now I have pizza coming, or I have some kind. I have a $4,000 battery coming.
Right.
Oh, wanted to order an Eco 3 battery? Okay.
Well, I mute that thing every time I get on.
It's probably smart.
Yeah. But do you ever use it as part of your show? You ever ask it questions in the middle of the show?
No, I thought I would. In fact, at one point in time, years ago, I hooked up either one of the assistants. I hooked it up into the show so we could ask it questions because I thought it'd be beneficial. No, it was not. We didn't. We never. I mean, I could have at one point in time, I could have asked a question, and then in its response, it would have played its voice into the show. And so you could hear it, right? But no, we never really, it never really got to that point where it was that, I guess it was that helpful.
I've done it, I think, twice now with doing the co-hosted show with Tiffany. You know, she asked me a question. You know, we talked about Shania Twain.
Yeah.
And she said something about, you know, talking to Shania Twain. I said, well, you'd have to look down at her because
she's short.
She's very short.
She is very short.
And she asked me, well, how tall is she? I'm like, well, I don't know. She's going to be like 4 foot nothing. And then I turned around and I asked the Alexa over here.
Yeah.
And it told me. So it was kind of cool. But, and it's loud enough that it wasn't plugged through the mixer, but it went through the microphone for sure.
Don't you think that's, for me in this medium, it's just as easy to type it in a browser.
Oh, yeah, I've got a browser window open now just in case I want to look anything up.
And then I don't have to hear the, did you want Billy Crystal? Right. No, I said Shania Twain. Right. And did you want the price of hemp in, you know, hemp rope? And you're like, no, not that kind of Twain.
What? You know? Well, that's my wife's. She's got the same box upstairs. And when she talks to it, it's good evening, Jennifer, and would you like this or would you like that? Or mine, I'll just ask the question, gives me the answer. I'm like, and that's it. That's all it does.
Yeah.
He gives me no fluff.
Maybe she's yelled at it so much that it's just.
This one here just knows me. It's like, I don't want to talk to you. Just give me the answer.
I think, listen, my infrastructure in the house for those kinds of things is pretty old. And I think even as we get into this, I mean, I think it's going to take a little more than what I give it, you know, this thing behind me. So I think I'm going to need to upgrade. If I'm really going to expect it to do some things, I'm probably going to need to upgrade. Now, is it sending the query off to the you know, the A-Lady servers? And is it coming back? Probably. So we'll just have to see what it does. I mean, today I use AI mostly for writing. Yeah. So if I'm writing something or I want to get information about something or if I want to do a search about something. So we'll have to see. I mean, we'll just have to see how good it is. I mean, OpenAI is way out ahead of everybody else on some of those things. Gemini, the Google version, which owns YouTube, is really good at YouTube stuff. So if I need to search inside YouTube videos, I use Gemini for that because it works real well. But I don't know. We'll have to see. That's
going to be Grok at all.
I have not.
Dude, that one, I was just on there and I used it in for a quick search for a news related topic and it nailed it. It came back with like 25 different examples of what I was asking for and stuff.
Yeah, I believe that.
Especially because we do an entertainment news show. So if we want to talk about a topic, I could just quickly type it in and boom, there's my list.
Well, if you want to, it's been interesting. If you kind of want to see what each platform's priority is, go to their reels. And right between Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and X, I had not looked at X videos in a while. You know, formerly known as Twitter
and Twix.
Man, those are super political right now. Like it is super political on X. And I'm like, I sometimes do a lot of Facebook reels and those are kind of goofy, you know, whatever. And YouTube is helpful. Like all my construction videos and all my DIY stuff is on YouTube.
It's like they all know what you use them for.
Yeah. But when I went over to X and I was watching those videos, all of a sudden I was like, Oh God. Okay. I need to stop.
TikTok has turned into my TikTok feed.
Yeah, I don't have TikTok.
Is turned into all political ads. I'm like, when did this happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it used to come on here for jokes. Now I go over to Instagram and it's all the, you know, scare videos where people are trying to scare the crap out of each other.
Yeah, or dance. There's a lot of dance videos.
Falling off cliffs or
on Instagram.
A lot of dance. Do you ever see the videos of this husband and wife who smack each other with balloons?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Splat.
And then they shoot the
confetti. Dude, I see those videos 100-something times a day. And whenever they come on, I the reason I see them is because every time they come on, I watch them.
Yeah. No, right on. I mean, it knows your algorithm. I get it on YouTube or on Facebook. I get a lot of comedy. You know, I get a lot of Nate Bargatze.
And that's exactly
Brian Regan. I get a lot of those. Yeah.
I get Matt Rife and some other guy that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very similar.
It's an interesting. It's interesting. Well, Jay, thanks for congratulations on the new vehicle. We'll have to check in with you and see how that works out here in the coming months. Like I mentioned, I'll get Ed Sullivan on. We're trying to get that vehicle delivered to him. It's been you bought it off the lot. He ordered his.
I should have ordered it so I could get the touring edition.
But yeah,
I bought it off the lot.
Probably would have taken you months actually to get that if you'd ordered it. To be honest,
well, it would have cost me about $10,000 to $15,000 more too.
So. Yeah, no, probably right on. No, yeah, and it's not cheap, right? I mean, these days, it's not. It's not like you were like, "Woohoo! I saved money," right? I mean,
no, I mean. Yeah. The Accord was cheaper than I expected it to be, but still not cheap.
Yeah.
Not cheap at all.
No.
It wasn't far off. I looked at the Civic. It wasn't far off from the Civic.
Yeah. A couple thousand more for sure. Maybe 7,000 or 8,000.
Yeah, it was more. About 7,000 or 8,000.
Yeah.
Difference.
Yeah. I'll wrap it on this. I liked my Civic. It was perfect for me. A little sedan. It was a commuter. Got me to and from work. I drove it to Boston one time. Twice? No, I flew the second time. I drove it to Boston one time. I actually drove it back from D.C. to Omaha. I did that in one day. You could do those kinds of things. Was it super comfortable? No. But I liked, man, I loved my Civic. I missed that car.
I looked at the Civic when I went here, but I bought the Accord again for passenger purposes. Yeah,
right on.
But if it was just me, I would have bought the Civic because they look cooler.
Yeah.
Just all the same smaller features. Yeah. But the body of the Civic looks cooler.
No, right on. Right on. I like them for sure. But I do like my Subaru. I've said that about 1,000 times. So okay.
The new sponsor of the show.
I wish they would. Subaru, if you're listening, I'd love to give me a call. Jim@theaverageguy.tv. Jay, can you hang tight for just one second?
Absolutely, buddy.
Just a couple reminders on the way out. If you want to join the Discord group, lots of conversation, but very nice conversation going on in the Discord group, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. If you want to head out to homegadgetgeeks.com, that's our pod page. And it's just another way to consume a podcast if you want to get it out there. theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting. Powered by Maple Grove Partners. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. For more information, check it out today, maplegrovepartners.com. He's still got plans for $10. It's Christian. He'll hook you up in that process as well. Like I mentioned, you can send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv, and we are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live if you want to join us here. Let me check the schedule coming up next week. Jeff C is coming. We're going to actually talk about, and he's done some work in AI. We're going to talk about the modularization of AI. So that'll be an interesting conversation between Jeff and I. Jeff was on, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months ago. So big beard, great guy. You're going to like him. Come back next week for a 6:39. Listen to him as well. And we'll be live 8 p.m. Listen, if you listen to the podcast on a regular basis, come out and join us on a Thursday night. Brian, Joe, Tony. I didn't see Ken tonight. That's kind of weird. I wonder why Ken was. I wonder what he must have been busy. Those guys come out every single week. Not every single week, but most weeks. Appreciate you guys doing that. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. Come back and get it done. And come join us live. For those listening live, we won't do much of a post show, but hang out anyways. I might say something surprising.
6-7 hours.
With that, oh, yikes. My voice won't make it that long. With that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.